99% token savings is such a ridiculous headline that I immediately assumed you were going to hate this.
I mean, I hated the headline, yes. The actual idea, less so. This is basically them saying the agent doesn't need to see the whole phone book of tools every time it wants to do one job.
Right. And that's the part that matters right now. Everybody's wiring agents into giant tool shelves, especially around MCP, and then acting shocked when the model gets weird once there are 2,000 things in reach.
Yeah, the central claim isn't really token savings, even though that's the flashy number. It's that decomposition quality is the routing bottleneck. If the model breaks a task into vague steps, retrieval goes bad. If it breaks the task into steps using the vocabulary of actual skills in the library, the whole plan snaps into place.
Which is very you. Constraint language, harness language, same disease. We keep ending up at the serving layer being the benchmark again.
It really is the same move. And Cooper, I actually think this one earns it because they aren't pretending the model just got smarter. They built a loop where the model drafts a plan, retrieval finds loosely matching tools, then those tool names get fed back in as hints so the model rewrites the plan around reality.
My week is apparently just me reading papers where the answer is, wow, the system should know what tools it has. Very glamorous Wednesday behavior for almost 7 months into this extremely unserious podcast.
That's a brutal description of what we do, and also fair.
But it does feel practical. If your internal agent has a tiny tool set, who cares? If you've got hundreds of connectors and wrappers and little business-specific actions, this is suddenly product shaping, because the failure mode stops being intelligence and starts being discoverability.
Mim, their pipeline is clean. Decompose the user request into atomic subtasks. Retrieve top candidates for each subtask with embeddings. They used MiniLM with FAISS. Then compose a final execution graph by checking whether outputs and inputs between selected skills are compatible, and they represent that as a DAG so independent branches can run in parallel.
And the example in the piece is the boring Enterprise one, which honestly is good. Download a dataset, transform it, make visual reports. That's exactly the kind of thing where one-shot tool choice is fake competence, because the task was never one tool in the first place.
Exactly. The interesting technical bit is the skill-aware decomposition loop. Vanilla 7B decomposition got the right number of steps only 51.0% of the time. Turn on SED, and it goes to 67.7. On the larger Quen Max setup, they say 92%. Hard tasks, 4 to 5 skills, improved by 50%.
Those are real gains, though the 99.9% token cut is also doing a slightly easier trick, right? If your baseline is shoving all 2,209 tools into the prompt, of course not doing that wins.
Right. Yes, that's where the article is a little too pleased with itself. Going from roughly 884,000 tokens to about 1,160 is dramatic, but the baseline is kind of absurd. No careful team would ship the brute force version unless they were speedrunning a cloud bill.
Some teams absolutely would. Do not underestimate the industry's commitment to yelling, just give the model everything, and calling it architecture.
Fair. I retract my faith in people.
Also, the bigger model does worse thing is catnip for people who want to dunk, but the nuance matters. The 14B model over decomposed into tiny nonsense steps when unguided. That's not proof small models are better. It's proof that without anchors, more verbal fluency can just generate more wrong structure.
Yes, completely. And I like that they showed React basically face planting here, 0% decomposition accuracy. Because that lines up with the old thing we keep coming back to. A loop that chooses the next action is not the same as an explicit multi-step plan with compatibility checks.
This is such an exploring next problem. We keep discovering that one universal loop is not the answer, and then some benchmark comes along and rediscovers it with a new noun.
No way. But seriously, I think the argument holds up technically with one caveat. They only get top 1 exact tool ranking around 37% with a buy encoder, even though top 10 recall is close to 70%. So in practice, you probably need a re-ranker layer, either cross-encoder or LLM judge, before I'd trust this in a messy enterprise stack.
That's the practical cut for me too. Who should care? Teams with large, messy tool inventories. Platform teams building internal agent layers. Anybody trying to expose a huge skill catalog to a model and wondering why usage is flaky. If you're building a simple agent with 6 tools, this change is approximately nothing.
I'd put maybe 70-30 on this pattern becoming standard in serious tool-heavy agents by year-end. Not necessarily this framework by name, but the retrieve-rewrite route loop. It solves too obvious a problem.
I'd go even higher on the pattern, lower on the branding. Skill Weaver as a name, whatever. The loop itself feels sticky. And since they haven't shipped code, it's more recipe than product anyway. Prompt templates in the paper, standard libraries like LangChain or Llama Index, RePython if you're stubborn.
The indexing setup is refreshingly undramatic too. They say embedding and indexing all 2,209 skills took 15 seconds. Retrieval added under 15 milliseconds. That's not where the pain is. The pain is keeping the skill docs clean enough that retrieval means anything.
Which is where your beloved boring work comes back. You don't get to have a magical agent catalog if your tools are named like internal jokes and half the descriptions were written at 2 in the morning by somebody mad at YAML.
Honestly, that may be the whole episode.
Yeah, okay. Let's not spend episode 592 becoming the documentation police. Go be gloomy somewhere else, Miles.